the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, we have said before here on the program that you will spend in retirement about $260,000 in out-of-pocket costs on health care. These costs may be getting worse. Obviously, things are going to get worse just on the basis of inflation alone, but also the government's capability of making payments is going to diminish in the future, contrary to all of the current political hype. The numbers war against it, which is why we would like to talk about that here today on the program. One of the indicators of where we are headed, many of you saw this year, Medicare premiums went up over 20%. And that's just the beginning.
There's a couple things we need to clarify here, John. If you are making below $85,000 a year, your Medicare premiums this year went up about $5 a month. But we now have a five-tiered system when it comes to Medicare pricing. And once you start reaching $85,000, you start moving into a higher bracket as a single individual. If you are married, it starts at $170,000. So there are four tiers that you have, and you could pay anywhere from $187.50 to $428.60 once you reach a certain level. In other words, when you reach the second tiered bracket, you immediately see a 20-30% jump in your premiums to almost a quadrupling of those premiums. Now, let me explain what's going on here, because for some of you, you may not be aware of this, so you got to be careful, especially in those years where you have large capital gains. For upper tiered income individuals, and this represents roughly about 30% of you who are on Medicare, the cost went up 22% for 2017, along with double-digit increases of over 11% for your deductibles. Now, why is that happening? And by the way, this did not come in with Obamacare. The five-tiered system came in with George W. Bush, that is, when he added Medicare Part D drug prescription. Along with that, we used to have one-tiered pricing for Medicare. Everybody paid the same Medicare premiums. With Bush, we got a five-tiered system. So depending on your income, you can pay as little as $109 or as much as $428, or almost $429. And the reason for the increase is the cost of healthcare for Medicare is going up faster than the premium charges for Medicare. And the other issue that deals with this is something called the Hold Harmless Clause, which prohibits Social Security benefits from being reduced because of an increase in Medicare premiums. So, for example, let's say that based on inflation, you got a 2% increase in your Social Security benefits at the beginning of the year. But on the other hand, let's say that Medicare premiums went up 10%. Well, those of you that are on Social Security, you know, and Medicare, the government takes your Medicare premiums and subtracts it from your Social Security check. Well, what the Hold Harmless Clause prevents the government from doing, based on certain income levels, is if Medicare premiums went up for, let's say, 22% for the 30% that do get hit, they could not reduce your Social Security payments by 22%. So that's the Hold Harmless Clause. Basically, the Hold Harmless Clause protects most individuals making $85,000 or less as a single individual, and most married couples making $170,000 or less. However, once your income starts exceeding that level, you're in that 30% category where premiums went up as much as 22%. And unfortunately, when it comes to the news of Medicare premiums going up for that 30%, and eventually, I think it's the year 2019 or 2020, there's going to be a major increase for those even in the tiered one bracket.
In addition to what you're talking about, Jim, the situation is very unfortunately, predictably though, getting worse. I mean, we're seeing more and more companies pull out of the exchanges. More and more baby boomers are heading into retirement. So that begins to, first of all, the baby boomers heading into retirement stresses the system. Fewer companies are willing to participate in these exchanges simply because it's too expensive and they're losing money on the whole deal. And the enlargement now of the healthcare bureaucracy. You have to remember that in all socialism or social programs, a bureaucracy begins to consume more and more of the resources, and only a limited amount gets passed on to the people for whom the program was intended.
Well, and actually, John, the situation is even worse for those who are forced to buy, for example, Obamacare, if you are not covered by employer health care. And even if you are covered by employer health care, let's say you work for a company today and you get benefits, there is something called a Cadillac tax that I believe goes into effect on 2019. In other words, if your employer gives you a great policy and you get all these benefits, they are looking at taxing those, except for if you belong to a certain political group, like certain unions might be exempt. Obviously, Congress exempted itself and gets subsidies to pay for their health care. But even those working in the private sector could get hit. And by the way, when you hear about tax reform, one of the things that the Congress is looking at, and this includes in the Republican plan, of taxing health care benefits provided by employers. But the one thing that we saw in 2017 is the average premium for Obamacare went up 25% nationwide. Now, once again, that's an average. Some states are even more. For example, in Arizona, the premiums went up 116%. In many states, they were up as much as 40 and 50%. Now, last Tuesday, the Department of Health and Human Services just published a report that insurers in states from New Mexico, Tennessee, North Dakota, Idaho, Virginia, South Carolina, Wyoming, and now Florida are putting forth an increase of 30% for 2018. So never mind that the average was 25% for 2017. It's going to be close to 30% for 2018. And that's why, John, I think a lot of people are saying that this thing is going to crash of its own weight because it's unsustainable. I mean, can you imagine if you are on Obamacare and your premiums went up 25% for 2017, next year they go up 30%. We'll get into one of the reasons it's failing. A lot of people are just opting out of the system. They can't afford it. And you'll see why they can't afford it in just a moment as we talk about what it cost you for Obamacare if you're on the system, and also what your deductibles are. But also, it is impacting Medicare because of its relation with Medicaid. Medicare recipients could also see double-digit gains in their premiums for 2018. Healthcare premiums are increasing as a result of Obamacare, and they're rising double-digit per year. And they're impacting everyone. It's not just if you are buying your insurance from Obamacare on the exchanges. It's also, in fact, impacting employers with employer healthcare plans, because when costs are increasing, we'll talk about why they're increasing here in a moment, what is an insurance company going to do? They're going to pass it on to you. They're going to pass it on to your employer. If you're getting healthcare from, let's say, your employer's insurance, they're going to pass it on to you. If you're buying it through the exchanges, as more companies bail out of the exchange because it's failing, almost 50%. We'll get into that in just a moment. But it's also impacting you as well on Medicare for a number of reasons. Not only because of the impact of Obamacare on Medicare, because money is being siphoned from Medicare and being shifted over to Medicaid, but also because there are more boomers that are heading into retirement, which is putting further strains on the system.
One of the poignant points here is that Medicare is now refusing to cover a lot of the new state-of-the-art drugs which are coming out, even if they're effective. And that's why we talk a lot about the $260,000 in retirement, is that more and more you're going to be left to your own resources. to provide for your own health care. As I said here, even if the drugs actually do something, Medicare may not cover it.
Yeah, and there's also another thing that's going to impact the exchanges. There's a new report that just reported by the Wall Street Journal that Obamacare co-ops are failing at the rate of nearly 50%. And a good example is the recent announcement by Molina, which is a healthcare. It's pulling out of the exchange after 2017 as a result of losing $110 million, according to Bloomberg. According to Bloomberg, Molina was originally cited as a success story company specializing in covering poor people, in other words, those less fortunate. Before Obamacare, they were a sizable player in the Medicaid managed care model. They actually made money on Medicaid programs prior to Obamacare. Now, according to Molina and Bloomberg, it seems to have made money until it was forced, and this is why the system isn't working, it was forced to pay into a fund designed to transfer money from insurers that ended up with an unusually healthy pool of recipients to those who got sicker patients. And this is directly from a report from Bloomberg. Lower than expected costs can be from the system working well, or they can simply come from the fact that you happen to get a healthier insurance pool. If the government makes you give the latter gains back and more, then you're still not going to be profitable. And insurers that aren't profitable over the long term aren't going to stick around. And according to Bloomberg, nor can you fix the problem by adjusting the transfer fund. Those losses are occurring somewhere in the marketplace. Someone has to pay for the care. Now, if you get rid of Obamacare's risk transfer provisions, those insurers would then lose more money and exit the market, and the patients would end up with some other insurer who would then lose a bunch of money on them. And unless the insurance market is profitable in the aggregate, the exchanges are not going to stabilize. And this is why the exchanges, John, are falling apart, is just like Molina, they're pulling out. They said basically we'll lose $110 million this year. So in 2018, they are pulling out of the exchange.
You know, the other thing too of especially Obamacare is that the plan was that younger people would pay into it, and just by virtue of the way life goes, they have fewer claims on the healthcare system, and that would fund the plan for older people. But what's happening is, and you can't expect them not to do this, younger people are looking at the cost of premiums and the deductibles. In other words, they're paying very high premiums for very high deductibles, saying, well, this money's going out every single month. Even when I go to the emergency room because I broke my leg doing something crazy or whatever, I don't even make the deductible. I can't clear that. So why should I do this? They view that as a losing deal. And, you know, let's face it, consumers are consumers, and the young people are shopping and they don't like what they see. And so what they're doing is rolling the roulette wheel, wheel of fortune. The odds are I'm not going to need it, and so I'll just not engage in it.
Well, you know, and you can see this too, because Obamacare has four plans. The least expensive is, in terms of monthly payments, is the bronze plan. They have the silver plan, which is probably the most popular. They have a gold plan and a platinum plan. And the difference between them is the premium you pay versus the deductible. And I'm just going to take the example of a 30-year-old. I didn't want to take 25, 30, 35, 40, and 50, but you're going to get the point. If you are age 30 and you're in a bronze plan, you are going to shell out roughly $3,734 a year as a single individual. But here's the problem that you alluded to, John. However, on the bronze plan, you have a deductible of $6,092. So before you receive one dime in payment from the government, you would have to shell out $9,826. Guys, that's a lot of money for any 30-year-old, unless you're Larry Lotsibucks. For families that are 30 years old, the deductible is $12,393. Now, the silver plan has a lower deductible, but the payments are higher. Under the Silver plan, I'm just going to round this off, you would pay $4,379 and your deductible would be roughly about $3,600. So you're going to shell out nearly $8,000 before you'd collect a dime. The Gold plan, likewise, you'd have to shell out roughly about $5,600. The deductible is about $1,200 for a total out-of-pocket cost of roughly $6,800. Finally, you have the Platinum plan, which is a little over $6,600 with a deductible of $405. So if you take a look at $6,600 per year, divide that by 12, you're paying $550 a month to get a $405 deductible. For most people, before Obamacare, you could have got medical insurance for under $100. Now it's $550. But getting back to your point, John, the way insurance works is you take 100 people. The insurance company has statistics and they know on 100 people age 30, 100 people age 50, 60, 70, whatever the age, they know what the mortality risk is. It's 4%, 5%. Obviously, it grows higher the older you get. The problem that the insurance companies are having, why they're all losing money and why they're dropping out of the exchanges, the way Obamacare works is you go to insurance company and you say, you cannot price your policies based on risk. In other words, based on a person's health. If a person signs up with you, no matter what their health, they could have cancer, they could have severe heart disease or diabetes, you have to take them on and you can't price the policy any higher for somebody that's sicker. The other thing is the insurance companies were told that, well, look, you know, the overall, the cost will be down because you're going to get a whole bunch of young people in the system because we're going to force them to buy insurance. Well, the problem we'll get to in a minute as we look at taxes, young people are opting out of the system and are more willing to pay the penalty tax than pay the premiums in risk, paying not only higher premiums, but also the huge deductibles, John, which is why it is not working. So the costs are so high. So healthy individuals and families are just basically saying, you know what? It is much cheaper for us to pay the tax. So the whole healthcare system is in turmoil now. Insurance companies, where you and I as taxpayers are subsidizing the insurance companies because they're saying, we're losing money. Why would I be on the exchange? And even with these subsidies, more and more insurance companies are opting out of the system. So the whole Obamacare system is imploding as we speak. Two things are happening. The insurance companies are opting out of the exchanges, which means there's less competition for the exchange to buy your insurance. And secondly, the young people are opting out of the system and opting instead to pay the tax, which is much lower. So they're playing basically roulette with their health. But here's the way the system works anyway. Look at it from the perspective of a young person. Is cheaper to pay the tax than buy the insurance and really not get coverage when you look at the high deductibles. And the second thing you can do as a young person is just opt out of the system. And then when you get sick, whatever it is, you join the system and the insurance companies have to take you. So from a young person's point of view, John, if I was a young person, that's exactly what I would be doing. I'd be paying the tax because it is a heck of a lot cheaper.
Yeah, and what is the tax, Jim, this year? I haven't been watching it closely because it goes up every year so far, right?
Well, it's 2.5% of your income. On average, it's $695 for a single individual. It's roughly about $348 per child with a maximum of $2,085 tax per family. But John, let's take an individual that pays $695. You compare that to the Bronze plan of $3,700, the Silver plan of $4,400, the Gold plan of $5,600, or the Platinum plan of $6,600. So most young people say, okay, on one hand, I could pay $695 and gamble with my health. I'm young, I'm in pretty good shape. And even if I get sick, well, then I can join a plan when I get sick And what they're doing is, a lot of people, you get sick, you join the Platinum plan with a $405 deductible. I mean, that's what we're seeing. So basically, that's why the system is not working. It's not working because of the way actuarial tables are computed, and also because young people are not entering into the system to basically spread the risk between those that are sick. And then also you've got the bureaucracy and the fact that we've got demographics. We've got 10,000 baby boomers entering into retirement daily, turning age 65. They're entering into the system, so there's more people on the system.
Yeah, and what you're not hearing in the news, you know, we're following this darn Trump cycle that's going on in the news media while a lot of the more important issues are submerged. What you're not hearing right now is that Obamacare is in the process of imploding simply because of the fact that it is not sustainable. But if you dig into the news stories, you can look in the Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg, all of the real stories about the fractures in Obamacare are coming out. And that's determining the real future of where we're headed.
Well, it's also, too, by not allowing insurance companies to price risk. I don't care if you are buying risk premiums in the stock market, like put premiums or option premiums. Everything is priced on probability and risk. And, I mean, look at it from the point of view of an insurance company. Let's just say that you are insuring car drivers. You're a company that issues car insurance. Imagine if the government said, you cannot look into the driving record of your drivers that you insure. So if there's DWIs, speeding tickets, running stoplights, if you can't look into that and price your policies based on risk, how are you going to make money? And it's the same thing. Can you imagine a life insurance company? You know, anybody that's ever taken out a life insurance policy knows, what do? They take a physical. What do? They draw your blood. You take a urine test. They send out a report to your doctor. The doctor fills out a report and basically tells the insurance company how healthy you are. Well, if you're an insurance company and you can't price your premiums based on how risky the people you insure are, then what you're going to do is, you're, number one, you're going to lose money, or two, you're just going to have to do a blanket rate and do an estimate. And that's what these companies did, is they did a blanket estimate in terms of what they were pricing based on the assurance from the government that, hey, don't worry, you'll get enough young people that'll come in that will offset the risk of taking on these sick people. Well, the young people, as we just talked about, are opting out of the policy and instead are opting to pay the tax penalty, which is maybe 20%, 15% of what they would have to pay in insurance premium. So all of this is impacting you, whether you are single and have no coverage and are forced to pay either the penalty tax or buy Obamacare tax. If you are on Medicare, you are going to see your premiums go up. You're going to see less and less of premium services, whether it's a new surgical technique, it's a new surgical machine, or some kind of device used to make you healthier, or it's a new wonder drug. You're finding Medicare is going to cover less. You're going to end up shelling for it out of pocket, not to mention the fact that Medicare is not covering its cost, because a lot of the surplus out of Medicare is being funneled over into Medicaid to cover the shortfall of a lot of these people. And the same thing is going to happen to you with a company plan. I'll have to look this up. It's either 2019 or 2020 when Cadillac plans become taxable to you if you are getting health insurance from your employer. And it's also something that they're looking at in tax reform as a way of getting additional revenue by taxing your insurance benefits. So the point that we're making here, costs are going to start escalating at double digits per year, as they've been doing the last couple of years. And it's only now, I think, that, you know, the full tax penalties are in effect for 2017. So you're going to pay $700 if you're single, up to a little almost $2,100 if you are a family without insurance. And then if you are in the Obamacare exchanges, you can spend anywhere from $4,400 to $6,600 a year as a single individual.
You know, the way that medicine tends to be practiced in the U.S., when it comes to emergency medicine, they're very, very good. They are good for pulling people back from the brink and getting them back up again. The solutions that medicine generally practices are either drugs or surgery. That's the two answers, largely. It's taken contemporary medicine a long turn to get to the idea of nutrition and diet. There's some of it in there, but sometimes the naturopaths are far ahead of the medical doctors in getting to this point.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons that we have been covering a number of well-known doctors who have written books. Last week on the program, we did Dr. Furman, who is known for healing a lot of people that have high blood pressure, hypertension, heart disease. We've talked with Caldwell Esselstyn from the Cleveland Heart Clinic. We've talked to Dr. Gary Small from the Center of Longevity at UCLA on dementia. So much of the diseases that we have in Western society, whether it's dementia, heart disease, cancer, or diabetes, are lifestyle related. And so one of the best things I can tell you with what we see coming in the healthcare system, I can tell you one thing, the costs are going up at double digits a year. Obamacare is in trouble. Medicare is going to be in trouble. And the best thing that you can do to keep your costs down is to stay healthy. And how do you do that? You do it with diet. You do it with exercise. And you do it with minimizing stress. So we are going to be doing a series of shows, including a new documentary film that we will feature in the August recess that I did with the documentary film on diets and disease in this country that was just come out. You could see it on Netflix right now. But we're going to do a series of upcoming shows. And some of the things that come out, if you read these books, John, I don't care. Gosh, there's so many diets out there. I mean, there's paleo diet, there's the DASH diet, there's the Mediterranean diet, there's vegetarian diets, vegan diets, now there's nutritarian diets. You know, one of the things that all of these diets emphasize, avoid processed foods, avoid sugar, and avoid salt. So we're going to do a number of these interviews in the next couple weeks, and hopefully you can draw your own conclusion. One of the best things I think I ever heard is from one of my clients who's a doctor who said, you know, I learned more about nutrition listening to your programs than I did in medical school. So the thing that we're going to try to do here is cover this because we are in the middle of a crisis right now. And unfortunately, with geopolitical events, whether it's North Korea or it's Trump and Russia, the media is not focusing on an issue that should be number one, because I don't need to tell you, if you're one of those individuals that saw a 22% increase in your Medicare premiums this year, if you were on Obamacare, you either lost coverage because of an exchange pulling out, or you saw an average increase of 25%, now hearing they're going to increase your premiums 30%, these are the issues that you are facing, whether you are young, whether you are working for a company and have future benefits taxed, or you are on Medicare. It is going to be one of the single largest expenses you will experience throughout your lifetime next to taxes.
And the latest diet, by the way, Jim, I've heard of, it's called the no food diet. It works really well. You lose a lot of weight. You just don't want to stay on it too long.
Yeah, because eventually that kills you.
You may not do too well after that. Okay, and summarizing the program here, if you look at the government, it's amazing to me as I watch these debates, especially in the town hall meetings, I don't know if you've been watching them or not, where a lot of these congresspeople are catching a lot of flack from their constituents over issues such as this. What you have to realize is Congress, through the government, is promising to pay more and more for healthcare, even as its ability to do so grows less and less. And all you have to do is look at the numbers to know what the future of Social Security, Medicare, and Obamacare are all going to be, to know that government will slowly be rolling back coverage and reneging on all of the promises that it made simply because of its inability to pay. And what that means is you're going to have to rely more and more on your own healthcare costs because healthcare is going to be and will remain one of your biggest expenses in retirement. Hey, by the way, coming up tomorrow on the program, Wade Fowle is going to be with us from American College, life expectancies for retirees and healthcare, how this all ties together. It's wonderful to live longer. Many people are living longer more healthily. But then there's a cost to that. It goes together. So that'll be an interesting topic for the program here on Lifetime Income tomorrow. Now, it's time for our Lifetime Income Real Life Case Study. And remember, as you listen to this, this is an hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. The names and circumstances have been changed. We also have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making. All right, frame the study for us this week.
This week, our case study is Ruth Williams. Ruth is age 55. She hopes to retire here in the next 5 to 7 years. Her life expectancy, based on her health questionnaire we had her fill out and process, is age 90. Her risk tolerance is moderate. Income with capital appreciation. Just to give you a little color on Ruth, she had a startup business that she sold a few years ago and now works as a freelance consultant for other companies in the tech industry. Now, she is single. She has no plans to get married as she is immensely enjoying her lifestyle, traveling to places and staying active. She has a lot of friends. She's healthy and she takes care of herself, but she is concerned about paying for future medical costs. Ruth has been impacted by rising healthcare rates currently since she pays them on her own. Her mom had an autoimmune disorder and passed away in her early 50s after needing assisted living for the last 3 years of her life. So this disease can be hereditary, so she is concerned that something similar may happen to her since she has no immediate family. Ruth wants a professional to help develop a plan to address these concerns. Looking at her current risk profile when it came to investments, her current risk score, given her age, was about 5. Her portfolio risk, based on looking at her portfolio, the risk score was 7, so pretty close to where she was as an investor. Now, what was important to Ruth? Number one, as anybody retiring, you don't want to outlive your assets, so that was very high on the list. Potentially to retire in another country. She loves traveling, especially traveling to Europe, where her heritage is, and being able to live in her current lifestyle. But more importantly, given what happened to her mother, hereditary disease, what would happen if that happened to her later on in life? Her budget basically was about $37,000 for essential budget. Discretionary income, mainly travel, $12,000, $49,000 because a lot of her friends were European, which is one reason why she's thinking about some time living in another country. Ruth's salary currently in her consulting work was $51,000. Rental income was $12,000. She had surplus of about $14,000. Now, basically, when we take a look at her assets, her primary residence was $125,000. It was free and clear. She had two rental properties that were valued a little over $500,000. Her retirement plan was $175,000. She had about $600,000 in her personal investments and about $470,000 divided between precious metals and cash. So her investment assets were roughly about $1.25 million. So the plan challenges, number one, was handling rising healthcare costs, which is what this whole show is about, because it's going up, folks. I don't need to tell you by how much it's going up a lot. Number two, creating enough income in retirement to support lifestyle, and then also educating her on basics of personal finance and helping her to set up appropriate expectations for retirement. What we did is basically we did as we do in most plans, and especially for risk control, a balanced plan between bonds, individual bonds, and individual dividend paying stocks. That would produce investment income of $30,000. Added in total, her income would be $54,000. This is if she was completely retired, less a budget of $53,000, a surplus of $1,000. Now, due to the potential need for long-term care, what we did is we helped the client complete what was called a 1035 exchange from an old life insurance policy she had. She started when she owned the business and moved it to a new policy with lower premiums, number one, and a rider to help cover long term. This is called a living benefit. And if you have a life insurance that, let's say you have a whole life insurance or universal life insurance, and you're thinking about long term care, here is a possibility you may want to consider as you get older, is convert your life insurance policy to what is called a dual benefit policy. Say, for example, you had a $100,000 life insurance policy. You can convert it to a policy that would pay out over a 3 or 5 year period, the death benefit, and they would turn it into a living benefit. So for example, if you had a $100,000 policy, it would pay you $20,000 tax free over a 5 year period, $20,000 a year over 5 years, or $100,000 over five, and that would be tax free. So to handle long-term care expenses, we converted an existing policy to what was called a living benefit. We also recommended she reduce her exposure to precious metals and diversify the proceeds into things that produce income, because the strategy was to lower the overall risk, number one, and align her portfolio with her investment objectives and risk tolerance, which was to have more income. We also offered to educate her on countries that would be most advantageous to live part-time or retire in. And additionally, we advised that she focus her travel on the countries she might enjoy seeing herself living in. I mean, she loves to go throughout Europe, but one of the things we told Ruth, and go, Ruth, why don't you look at those areas and spend a little bit more time in your travels on those countries where you have friends and where you think you are more likely to live. But here was a case, John, where she had an existing policy that was pretty much paid up, and we turned it from not only a death benefit, which would not do her any good because she was single, didn't have any children. You know, basically she had it to cover a mortgage early on when she started a business because she didn't want to leave her nieces and nephews with a mortgage on her house, but her house was free and clear and pay, or her condominium was free and clear and paid for. And so we basically turned that into a living benefit that could be turned into long-term care should she need it later on in life.
Coming up tomorrow on the program, Wade Fow, life expectancies for retirees and what this means in terms of your health care. And of course, this follows up the conversation of today, Jim. So what are we looking forward to in the weeks that are coming here as we round out the summer?
We're probably going to spend a little bit more time. Maybe next week we'll cover long-term care, John, because this health issue, I mean, I'm just blown away. It's almost like weekly. If you're reading the Wall Street Journal or Bloomberg, another company or insurance company that is either number one applying for 30% increases, one insurance company wants 40% increase insurance in the state that they, basically the governor saying, hey, you need to stay here. You're the only insurance company we have left. They're wanting a 40% increase in premiums. So this is hitting a lot more people. It's hitting employers with the cost of providing health insurance for their employees. It's hitting people on Medicare with the increase in cost and the other things that Medicare is no longer covering. I had a client who was on a certain medication, and just in the last year, they've changed his medication twice from the wonder drug that he was getting to now generic versions of that. And he's not too happy about that, but that's exactly what his other choice is, to pay for it out of pocket, which could be over $300 a month versus like $20, $25 a month. So any way you look at it, whether you are single with no insurance, a family with no insurance, working for your employer or on Medicare, your healthcare costs are going up double digits. And this is an issue that is getting very little attention in the news right now. We're going to cover it. And probably the best thing overall I can tell from all the reading I've done, the experts we've had here on the program, from, you know, the Cleveland Heart Clinic to UCLA Longevity Center to Dan Buettner on Blue Zones, where people live to be over 100, it all starts down to the food we eat. And so we'll be spending a little bit more time on that in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, well, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.